You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on YouTube, on Periscope, and on Twitch as well. And we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in friend of the show, Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic. Nicole, how you doing? How are things going?
Things are good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Nicole, we'll get to the developments yesterday between the NCAA and the Supreme Court here in just a few minutes. But I want to start with just your thoughts on both the men's and women's tournament that we've seen so far from your viewing experience. What have been your impressions of the tournament? What stood out to you so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think, didn't quite know what to expect with the contained environments and the bubbles and all of that. But the quality of play has been great. I think, you've seen a lot of upsets and really kind of thrilling finishes in both the men's and the women's tournament. I keep coming back to, it's just such a shame, the weight room issues and all of the other things of the women's tournament really overshadowing everything, but especially the fact that, it's actually been an incredibly great women's tournament. And, women's basketball is finally in a point where, it's not just UConn and then there's this huge gap with everybody else.
I agree. It's been a great tournament, other than the horrific officiating at the end of the UConn-Baylor game. But
he's really upset about this, Nicole. He's been talking about it nonstop for 48 hours.
I mean, well, I'll be honest. When I saw the play, and I watched it live, and I was like, that looked a little physical. It was cool. But, that is one of those where I guess sometimes still photos can exaggerate something. But my gosh, it's like elbows on her face and arm. But anyway, bad officiating is part of the deal, I guess, with college sports. And here's a transition. So is the talk of athletes getting compensated, Nicole. And I tweeted this great explainer from you and Andy, except I didn't actually provide the link. So let me apologize for that. I will fix that right now. But you guys had a great piece setting up this Supreme Court case and differentiating it from, and I think some people are missing this, from the name, image, likeness legislation in various states, which is, that's proceeding independent of this. But this is more about schools. So can you lay that out for the listeners? This case that the Supreme Court just listened to yesterday and provided some opinions on.
Yeah, I think that, it all kind of sounds connected, and it ultimately is. It's sort of about athletes receiving more than just a scholarship. This whole Supreme Court case is, the justices could decide to rule more broadly, but it's essentially about educational-related expenses. So we're talking about, the cost of, we're talking about internships and, potentially, equipment that they might use for, something for school or tangentially related to school, whatever. But educationally related benefits. So there's certain things that were used as examples in this. But these are what are provided from the school, what the school is allowed to do. When we talk about, what's happening in Congress and different state laws, you're talking about, third parties. You're talking about, a T-shirt brand that wants to pay someone $200 to post something on Instagram. You're not talking about what the schools can do. There's going to probably be some significant barriers about what the schools, they're not allowed to directly, pay these athletes in that setting. They can, it's entirely third parties, entirely endorsements, sponsorships, and that's kind of, against exactly that model. But this isn't, these schools just paying players for being athletes. There would be parameters about what is allowed, but they're basically trying to figure out, is there an arbitrary number where you could cap, where you could say, the NCAA wants to say, you can cover up to $5,000 of educational-related expenses, but nothing more. And the question is, how did they come up with that number? what is the right number? Is, you know, for other athletes on or other students on campus, like, there's no cap on stuff like that. So it's basically questions of that. But they're I understand why they're being conflated for a lot of people, but they're not, and it might ultimately, like, kind of inform what Congress does in terms of, you know, again, if they rule broadly, but technically these are different things, and the Supreme Court case is could end up being very narrow and about just, like, a couple of examples of the types of things you would spend money on for an athlete related to schoolwork, related to internships.
Right, like the Ed O'Bannon case basically led to cost of attendance. I mean, it was pretty narrow in the end, which didn't get to the Supreme Court. Okay, so I mean, I love some of the you know, the tweeted quotes from people, especially like some of the stuff NCAA lawyers say is just, it's amazing. And I don't know if this was your tweet or someone else, but I think a lawyer was like, "Well, if this happens, then they will spend more time on the athletics and less on academics."
Which
is a great week to say that when we have like basketball games going to like 1 a.m. Eastern on a Tuesday. I mean, I love that, but I do wonder, Nicole, like. I feel like name, image, likeness should be as open market as possible, and I hope it gets there, and I have no idea if it will, but is it possible that this stuff, this is a Sherman antitrust, basically, like the foundation of this, right? Is it possible that this could actually hurt college athletics? I mean, I hate to take that side of it, but I do wonder, like, if this isn't narrow, and I guess you sort of open the floodgates, as one of the justices said yesterday. Is it possible that this could actually kind of foul things up?
Well, that's, I think, what they're – you could tell that that's something that the justices were thinking about, because they clearly understand the issues with amateurism, and, like, they clearly, you know, could see through a lot of, like, the NCAA's arguments for it. Basically, you know, you even heard them say, like, just because you've done something for 100 years doesn't mean you should keep doing it. You know, all of those types of things. But they also did seem to say, hey, there's a ton of benefits from this system, and it's, college sports are important to a lot of people. They provide opportunities, et cetera, et cetera. You know, like, do we want to blow the whole thing up? Like, what is the end game here? Like, they were asking those types of things, which, you know, certainly gives you pause, right, about just how far they're willing to go and whether or not maybe they will stay really narrow so that they don't blow up the whole system, even though, again, they seem to understand it, right? And we heard a lot of very pointed critiques of, you know, kind of exploitation and, you know, coaches' salaries have ballooned, yet, you know, the athletes have not been able to make money out of, you know, just how much, you know, money has flowed into college sports in the last decade. You know, it's not going to the players. Like, they made all of those points, so they certainly understand it, but, you know, there's a reason why certain cases make it all the way up to the Supreme Court, and, you know, there's usually, like, you know, there's a global issue, but there's also something really specific that people feel, you know, can make a point. And that's what kind of ultimately leads, you know, the Supreme Court to take on certain cases. So very curious to see how this plays out, because you do have those competing kind of that tug of war between wanting, you know, to look at these issues of exploitation. Obviously you have different ideologies on the court, but you have those who support free markets and don't want, you know, to restrain the restraints of trade. And you also have people who, you know, talk about workers and the workers' rights. And so you have all of that, which is also part of the reason that, you know, Congress, you have a bipartisan effort on NIL. But, you know, again, it's like, do you want to blow up the whole system? That's ultimately what the question will be. And if they decide not to, then, you know, it's probably going to be a very narrow ruling.
Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Nicole, just I think it's kind of interesting that we've gotten to this point in college sports anyway. And I'm kind of looking at a line from a piece that you were involved in on The Athletic yesterday that says, quote, "Either way, the direction of college sports will be shaped significantly by the Supreme Court and by Congress," a sentence I'm not sure I could have imagined typing 10 years ago. So it is amazing from that standpoint that here we are with all this litigation tied up in Congress and now hearing oral arguments in the Supreme Court, and that all of this centers around college athletics.
Yeah, and that we got to a point where it has to be this way.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what's really stunning. And I've got a piece up in The Athletic today. I talked to a bunch of conference commissioners and athletic directors, more than two dozen, around the country anonymously about the state state of everything and kind of coming out of the women's tournament, how they feel about Mark Emmert, the NCAA president. And an issue that kept coming up in my conversations was just the reactive nature of the NCAA to everything, and the fact that they didn't figure out NIL 5 years ago, that they weren't in front of any of these issues. I mean, you can't necessarily control like the courts, but it didn't need to come to the point where, you know, we're right up against these deadlines where states are going to implement NIL laws. There's no federal legislation passed at this point, and there's not even NCAA legislation passed. And again, it's going to be happening for them. Something that they don't control is going to happen to the NCAA, because there was no action on this for years. You knew that this was heading this direction. So I think that there's a lot of frustration around that, because, you know, again, like you don't want these things, especially if you're someone who's spent your entire career in college sports. Do you really want it to like totally just like hand this off to the government and let them do what they want and just kind of put you in whatever rules and constraints that they choose? Like, that's not what people want. They wanted to have a say in this. They wanted to be proactive and think about this creatively. And that didn't happen. So it really is, I don't think you can overstate it, how jarring it is that it's come to this.
So, look, Mark Emmert is, I mean, he's getting a lot of heat here. He deserves a lot of heat. Is it simplistic, though, to put it all on him? I don't think he's been a good leader at all. I think that there's still root, you know, culture things here with the NCAA that I don't know that, you know, it's as simple as you get him out of there and you'll have much better leadership. Am I wrong?
You know, I think that that's what people are wrestling with. I think that, you know, some of the stuff that, you know, they think about the way that Mark Emmert has led, I think they also look at kind of the uppermost leadership and the way that the governance structure is set up with the Board of Governors, which is a group of mostly presidents from all three divisions. And that is a very slow-moving body, right? And so there are certain dynamics involved in just the uppermost levels of the NCAA that, you know, a lot of people I talk to feel, you know, really could use a look at reforming and just restructuring and figuring out the easiest way to make this governing body of college athletics more nimble and able to respond to stuff and be proactive on issues. But I think that there are a lot that people feel with Mark specifically, the way, you know, certain things about communication, the way that he's responded to issues, you know, the current issues and this kind of like surge of discontent was stemming out of his, how he responded to the women's tournament issues. I mean, you know, I don't think anyone's saying, you know, he was responsible for the weight room issues, the differences in testing, all these different pieces, but it took like days for him to sort of seem to understand it and to apologize and sort of own parts of it. You know, there was a lot of deflecting early, and people just got very frustrated with that. And so there are certain elements that things that do fall on his shoulders, and then certain other pieces that are more structural issues. But I think that people feel in that position, you're constrained by a lot of things because of the membership organization. But if you had a different leader, if you had someone who had a vision, who was proactive, you can shape the direction of things and respond to things better, communicate with your membership better, things like that. And like people brought up just kind of how they found out, like the fall NCAA championships were canceled last year in a tweet. Like there are some things that, you know, that I do think you can easily fix if you have a different person in charge. And kind of, again, you have to look at that structure at the very top of how decisions, major decisions get made in that system. But yeah, there's just a lot of frustration. And again, I think people have been pretty clear about like how much blame they put on Mark specifically, how much they put just on whoever is ultimately, you know, the leader of this organization and makes a lot of money to be the leader of this thing. And then also, you know, again, what is reasonable to expect from that role. And, you know, I just think that the idea of a vision, you know, multiple people brought up this idea of honestly like a job, like a review, like any sort of process like that where, you know, you would start a year and say, here are your goals, here's what you're going to accomplish, and be held accountable for that. Like there's not transparency around any of that related to, you know, what people expect from him and what he is essentially evaluated on. So there's a lot of pieces like that that, you know, kind of go a little bit beyond him specifically and into structural issues of how the governance model is set up and frustrations with that that get exacerbated maybe by him personally or his personality or the way he responds to it.
Yeah, one quote in this, which I think is pretty much sums up his tenure. I don't think, quote, I don't think he's thinking of any of this beyond it being damage control. That's pretty much, that sums up Mark Emmert pretty well, I'd say.
I think it does as well. Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexer. Nicole, great stuff. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Nicole. Say hi to Red. Say hi to Red for us.
That's right.
That's Nicole's dog.
That's right.
I heard Red in the background.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll react a little bit more of what Nicole had to say there and talk about how this could impact the future of college athletics. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic for joining us in the last segment. Joe Rex Road.
She did text an apology that Red was acting up, and I was like,
there's no need for an apology.
I was like, every radio hit I do, there is a dog barking in the background.
Correct.
Who cares?
Yeah.
I liked hearing from
Red. I think it adds a nice element to it.
And the fact that, you know, your name's Nicole Auerbach and you have a dog named Red is pretty cool.
It is pretty awesome. It's pretty amazing. Joe, what did you think of what we discussed with Nicole about the NCAA making oral arguments yesterday with the Supreme Court and about where this could be heading and the future of college athletics as a result from it?
Well, I've said all along, I love college athletics. I want it to stay the same. So I don't want this to be blunt. The argument from the NCAA to this particular case, the NCAA lawyers, is people will stop wanting to follow and be fans of their product if they think that these are paid laborers, that this is basically minor league sports. To an extent, I do buy that. I mean, I think if it's just paid athletes, then I think there's some truth to that. Now, I still think, you know, if the LSU football fan, the Alabama football fan, the Tennessee football fan who bleeds that color their entire life, they're just going to walk away because there's some money. I don't buy that. What I really don't buy is that, and the Olympics completely prove me right, that if these kids, these college athletes, can make money off of their talents on Instagram, by signing autographs, by doing camps, all these things that they should have been allowed to do for decades, that's going to ruin it? I don't think that at all. People said that this would happen to the Olympics. Oh, we can't have Mary Lou Retton doing a cereal commercial before. She's an amateur. No one gives a crap. The Olympics is still, and these people now have the money to train. They make money off commercials, and it's been totally fine. And it would be the exact same thing in college athletics. But this particular case that is in front of the Supreme Court, I mean, it's interesting. If you can open it up to where the schools are paying, and then what happens is they compete with each other.
Yeah.
And I could see that messing up the model more than I would like to see it. To me, it's just open market, name, image, likeness. Yes, of course there will be recruiting benefits given by people who say, hey, do a commercial for me. Here's $1 million. You're the five-star quarterback. Oh, no, $1.1 million here. Great. Why does this bother people?
It's like that in any other business.
I'm all in. Yeah. It's America. And this is why, you know, so few things are bipartisan. You know, this is name, image, likeness is, because it really is. If you believe in a free market in this country, then how could you possibly be against this?
Yeah. It's a great question. And like we brought up with Nicole, I think it's really an illustration of where we've gotten to in college athletics, that now here we are with litigation tied up in Congress about name, image, and likeness, and now NCAA in front of the Supreme Court yesterday for the first time in 37 years, by the way, since the NCAA has been in front of the Supreme Court.
Right, and that was Oklahoma and Georgia suing the NCAA basically to get on TV. Back then, the NCAA was limiting television appearances, which is hilarious to think about.
Yeah.
So that case, which the Supreme Court ruled in favor of Oklahoma Board of Regents, opened it up now so you could be on TV all the time. which has opened up all this money, which has led to the networks for the conferences and all these things that have led to massive coach salaries and administrative salaries that make it impossible now to argue that they should still have the same antiquated amateurism system.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Nate, who wants to weigh in. Nate, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, guys. Fans will probably, at first, a little bit of them will be upset, but they'll come back like they always do. My main point here was going to be, I think it's a good thing for these higher-profile athletes to be paid that are going to go pro or projected to go pro. I think that if Isaiah Wilson had the resources to understand what he was about to get into and, you know, truly physically have what he was potentially going to have, yes, it wouldn't have been as much. But, and I know this is an extreme example, but I feel like Isaiah Wilson's main root of the problem, while we don't know for exact that it was that he was getting paid a buttload of money and he didn't really know what to do. But I feel like if he had the resources there, he would have kind of, you know, been helped through it a little better.
Thanks for the call, Nate. We appreciate it. I mean, I don't know. We'll never know specifically about Isaiah Wilson and exactly what that would have meant for him. I tend to believe, like, if there's always going to be, no matter how much money you're making in college football, like, the opportunity, especially if you're a top guy like that, to make more money in the NFL, it's always going to be there.
Yeah, and that's another thing, too. And, yeah, I mean, I understand the thought there, you know, because obviously you're talking about someone, and that's what happens, is young people all of a sudden run into a whole bunch of money sometimes if yep. they're good enough to be professional athletes. And that can have an adverse effect. But, you know, another thing with this that I think gets exaggerated so much is like, oh, Texas, like the oil money, they're gonna pay.
Just outbid people.
Right. They're going to pay everybody $1 million. You know how bad of an investment that is, especially in college football?
Yeah.
I mean, the market will correct itself, you know, and there will be Jadeveon Clowney would get paid, okay, coming out to where he'd go to college. That would the money would find him through this. But again, did it not already?
Right. Well, I think that the college basketball part of it too, like, I think, you know, the Zion Williamsons of the world, they'll get paid a lot of money to come play college basketball. Yeah. But, hey, look around. It's probably already happening anyway.
Well, I mean, Marvin Bagley, I mean, his dad, like, for their AAU team, got incredible amounts of Nike money.
Yeah.
Just – And then he chooses that Nike school, Duke. Amazing coincidence.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, so a lot of this stuff, I mean, look, I have to separate out. Like, I get, like, I don't want fans to have a different experience. I love college sports. It's so much fun. So the media experience is a little different. And so when I get excited about this stuff, I have to realize it is the reporter in me also just being fascinated to see this stuff all on the table.
Yeah.
And maybe fans don't love that idea. But I don't think it would take long to get used to it, and I think it would make it more fun,
yeah,
frankly.
We'll continue this conversation on the other side of the break. Tyler, hang with us. We'll get to your thoughts on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, coming up here in just a few minutes. Also get back into the Preds as well, all that coming up. But right now, I got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook and the tournament down to just four teams, Baylor, Houston, UCLA, Gonzaga, left on the table. So if you've been watching from the sidelines, now's your chance to get in on the action. FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking you up with exclusive 40-1 odds on all four teams left in the bracket, even the favorites. That's right, 40-1 odds for new users on any team to win this round. That means you can win $200 on a $5 bet. I like Gonzaga a lot in this matchup with UCLA. Maybe you do too. That's on the table for you. All you got to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and make your first deposit to unlock exclusive 40-1 odds. The app is so easy to use, and when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. So just sign up with promo code ROB so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code ROB. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit required. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Thursday morning. We're going to have Preds Pick the Clip coming up in about 12 minutes or so.
Oh, boy.
Presented by New Amsterdam Vodka. Robbie Stanley goes for two in a row. You only have to wait mere moments to witness that, and you'll have your opportunity to participate as well coming up at 8:45.
I feel like Pick the Click, you know, I think Pick the Click's a nice idea, and it's a nice, fun thing to do. But I feel like it's really gained prominence by your futility.
I think so.
I think you deserve credit for sucking as bad as you have this year.
I will take credit.
And now, here you are.
Here I am. A winner.
In the toilet bowl bracket.
Yes.
With a chance.
With a lot of momentum. Momentum moving forward here. We'll see if I can continue it.
If you catch me and beat me, I will not play ever again.
That's right.
I just want you to know that.
That's cool. Right now, I'm talking college athletics and the NCAA case against the Supreme, or heading to the Supreme Court with oral arguments yesterday. What does this mean for the future of college athletics? Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Tyler, who wants to weigh in. Tyler, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey. So I was talking to my buddy about this the other day. I just think whenever you start, and I do want to see these kids get paid, definitely, but once you do that, it opens up another can of worms. Like, I don't know how you keep that fair long term. Does the long snapper for Alabama get paid more than the quarterback for TSU, or is it all based on sponsorships? Or, like, you know, there's so many college athletics and athletes across the country. How would you keep that pay structure fair across the board? Just a thought there. I'll hang up and listen.
Hey, thanks for the call, Tyler. We appreciate it.
Joe, let me dunk on this right now, Tyler. And thank you for waiting, Tyler. Now I'm going to dunk on you. No, I mean, I understand the question, but first of all, it's not fair at all right now. It's not remotely fair. Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, they get all the players. Am I right?
Yes.
So it was never about being fair. It never will be.
Ole Miss at
never
times.
Has been. Yeah, that's true. Hugh Freeze, a magnetic personality that he has.
Yes.
So that's... And again, when you're talking pay structure, Tyler, it's not a pay structure. And this is where, again, I think the stuff that's in front of the Supreme Court now, I think it's a fair argument that the NCAA is in violation of the Sherman Antitrust Act. I mean, it really is. But that side of things, to me, is not what needs to happen. It's the stuff that's in Congress and in various state legislatures for name, image, likeness. If you have an open market, then it's not about fair. It's about whatever the market says. So someone did a study last week or wrote a piece, and it may have been our Chris Vanini, about just social media influencing, okay? And actually some of the top college women's basketball players would be among the most benefiting from this, which would be now if you're on Instagram with all this following and you can monetize it, I mean, you're talking about, in some cases, six figures in money coming in. Why is this a problem? A tiny, tiny fraction of college athletes get to professional sports and make millions. A tiny fraction even of prominent college athletes. Most of them, their biggest earning power time off their talents and their hard work in athletics is during college. Again, think about the college golfer who wins a national championship and can just have a Ping sponsorship.
Yep.
That's a lot of money, and they may not make the tour. But during that time, they've been able to monetize it. And again, to me, it doesn't fundamentally change college athletics at all.
Well,
now, if you get into labor and pay structure like that, okay, that's a different story. I don't think that can happen.
Right. Well, I mean, think about guys, and these are different examples, I know, but Johnny Manziel, he gets to the NFL and he totally flames out. Doesn't work out. Tim Tebow, he's in the NFL. He hung around for a little bit, but it doesn't work out. Like, if you're trying to tell me, like, the top earning power moment for Johnny Manziel or Tim Tebow wasn't while they were in college and being the biggest stars in the sport, I mean, I got another thing coming for you. It absolutely was. Like, why should those guys not be allowed to maximize that earning potential at that time?
Well, I'm glad you brought up Johnny Manziel. I know I've said this on the show before. I mean, people who know me are so sick of me talk about this, but whatever, I'll do it again. Johnny Manziel is such a great example for the hypocrisy of the whole thing, because he won the Heisman at Texas A&M. He was Johnny Football. He was so much fun to watch. It was such a huge deal. Texas A&M capitalized. and they built this facility
yep.
to house the Heisman and millions of dollars that they spent, but also it's a benefit to your program. We've talked about facilities and how important they are. So off of what he did, and yes, he did it at the school. He did it in an offensive system. It's mutually beneficial, but still, what he did to bring that kind of recognition to Texas A&M, there's a tangible benefit. And then the next fall, he's out giving autographed pictures, and he's being hunted down by, like, feds.
Yeah.
And this is, like, it's how stupid. I mean, just think about, like, the amount of resources we waste to try to catch people cheating or breaking these stupid rules. Imagine, like, what else that could be applied to in the
world.
What
else you could be doing? Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben text in. I'm excited to see how much the Vols compete in paying players when it's actually legal. Be interested.
Well, seriously. I mean, aren't you at some point, if you're sitting there as a Tennessee fan and you're looking at Alabama and you're looking at Tennessee, and there's a lot of things that go into it, and, like, good coaching is important, but aren't you kind of like, hey, are our boosters kind of slouching a little bit here? What are we doing?
Got the Haslams in there. Got a nice money train there in Knoxville.
And they're not the only ones.
I know.
Well, what's going on here? I think it'd be great. Bring it on. Bring it up. This five-star quarterback is getting an offer to, you know, endorse, you know, Gus's Good Times Deli for $800K.
Yeah.
But Dreamland, $1.2 million.
Yeah.
I mean,
one of Peyton Manning's Papa John's joints you can endorse for $1.3 million. Yeah.
See?
Could run this thing up a little bit.
This could be a blast.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Drew texts in, shouldn't Oregon be able to dominate in recruiting with the backing of Nike? They wouldn't even have to hide it anymore.
Yeah. So here's another thing that people lose sight of. That's very much like the Texas argument that I've heard from people. Well, Texas, oil money. There's still 85 scholarships.
Right.
And if you go to a place and don't ever play, how are you benefiting from this?
Right.
I mean, yeah, maybe on the front end, but trust me, we're talking about people who are billionaires, millionaires. They didn't get there by being stupid and making a bunch of dumb investments, right?
Generally speaking.
Well, maybe they had some ups and downs along the way, but, like, return on investment is something that it's a language they all speak. And it's so overblown, this idea that, you know, oh, we're just going to – Nike money. Yeah, they have plenty of money, but Tennessee has boosters with money that can match up in this. I mean, all these schools – and, here's an example. Vanderbilt. And I've talked a little bit about this with Barton Simmons, who now is the GM for Vanderbilt. And name, image, likeness here, for example. I think it can help places like that. I think it can help level the field of anything more than it would hurt someone. If you can go to a place and be the star, if someone could come in at Vanderbilt and be like a star athlete in Nashville, like right now, would Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter, they're going to be fine. They're going to be making a lot of money as Major League Baseball pitchers. But right now, what would the opportunity be? In this town, this spring, I mean, people want to go out and watch these guys pitch, right?
Yeah.
In this town, I think there's a lot of potential for things like that I believe would actually make things better in terms of leveling. It's never going to be level.
Yeah.
Never has been, never will be.
Real quickly, let's get to one more text on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Sam text in, is the argument for athletes to be paid or to be able to profit from their image and likeness? I agree on image and likeness, like with Johnny Manziel, but trying to actually pay all athletes a set salary will never be able to work.
100% agree.
Yeah.
It can't work. It won't work. It's not the case. Now, the Supreme Court case is kind of leading toward schools being allowed to offer more educational expenses. We saw with O'Bannon, basically that created cost of attendance, which is smart.
Yep.
I mean, you really, I know some of this stuff gets exaggerated, but you had players or athletes at prominent schools, you know, not able to put cream cheese on a bagel and some of these dumb things. I mean, cost of attendance helps fill in the gaps that don't get covered by your scholarship. But no, you're absolutely right. This can't be labor and just salaries. It's that completely blows up the model. Part of this model is it's tax-free money because it's opportunities provided to all these non-revenue sports. That's why it's still tax-free. The whole model's blown up if you do pay. It's whatever you can get on your own on the market, get it. I mean, I think it's simple, but people want to make it more complicated. I don't know. We don't know. There's of course going to be some unintended consequences, just like there are with anything. But something has got to give. It's already happening in some states, and this is the way to go.
Speaking of unintended consequences, I continue my vault for the top of the Preds Pick the Click competition when we come back, and it's time for you to get in on the action as well. Be in or be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You'll have your opportunity to guess the goal score for tonight's Preds game against the Dallas Stars. If you get it right, you'll win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll do Preds Pick to Click coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Yes, it is time for Preds Pick to Click here on 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, the Nashville Predators taking on the Dallas Stars tonight, going for win number 7 in a row. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley going for 2 wins in a row in Preds Pick to Click. We'll see if I've got what it takes to make that happen. We'll also see if the listeners have what it takes to make that happen. The listeners with 6 correct answers. Joe Rex wrote at 6. Ryan Porth at 1. Robbie Stanley at 1 as well. So the competition in the best bracket and the low bracket, very, very intense at this point.
It's the Gus Macker toilet bowl right now.
Thank you.
But unlike the Gus Macker, you ever heard of Gus Macker, Elijah?
I have no idea who that is.
All right.
Never heard of that a day in my life.
That's okay.
There's no reason you should.
It's a wonderful 3-on-3 basketball tournament that started in Michigan and spread throughout the Midwest and was sort of like it was basically like basketball mecca for a while. But
there you go.
Anyway.
Well, basically it spread far enough.
What's that?
Didn't spread far enough.
That's right.
Heard of it.
It's not here.
Well, there are a lot of other copycats all over the country. They just, they stole the idea.
Right.
Stole the idea of 3-on-3 basketball. But anyway, and that toilet bowl, you can't move up. Once you lose, you're in the toilet bowl tournament in bracket, and all you can win is the toilet bowl trophy. You, however, can win the big ones.
I can. We're going to see if you I are can not make out of progress this. Today. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in today's participant, who is Andrew. Andrew, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road. We appreciate it.
I appreciate y'all.
So,
how are you doing?
We are doing great. Good. Hope you are as well. Andrew, the Predators taking on the Dallas Stars tonight at home. Who is your pick to click for tonight's Preds game against the Stars?
Victor Arvidsson is due. I think he's going to knock the peanut butter off the shelf.
I like that. Andrew going with Victor Arvidsson in the competition. Andrew, good luck to you tonight.
Thanks, fellas.
Absolutely. So Andrew going with Arvidsson. Now, he's had a lot of chances as of late, including a glorious chance in the last game that Hudobin made a nice save on. But I like that pick. Andrew going with Arvidsson.
Some Arvidsson love, which is nice to balance out the earlier texter who was like, Arvidsson hasn't played all year,
yes,
and trade him for a jar of peanut
That's
butter.
Right. So with that in mind, Andrew has selected Victor Arvidsson. Joe Rexroad, you are first up today with your selections. Where are you going in today's edition of Preds Pick to Click?
I mean, should I stray from what has worked?
You do whatever you want to do.
I
think you should select Colton Sissons, but you do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I don't need to be all extreme like that. I just feel like, it's the year of Yarncroke, is it not?
It is. Leads the team in goals.
I mean, I'm gonna keep going with Yarncroke.
So you are
Joe
selecting
Davion Rex Croak goes with his namesake.
So you are selecting your man, Callie Yarncroke, in the competition. So Victor Arvidsson selected by Andrew. Joe Rexroad selecting Callie Yarncroke. Ryan Porth / Elijah Campbell has the next pick in the competition. Elijah, which way have you been directed to go?
We have been directed to go to the boy wonder here, Eli Tolvanen.
There you go. So Tolvanen has been selected by Ryan Porth on a 6-game point streak at this point.
So you and Tolvanen can't repeat together. Porth has taken that out of your hands.
I mean, I can. I'm not going to. That's very frowned upon.
We never
established a rule that you can't do it. I'm just not going to do it because I have honor.
You're saying that we could pick the same ones that we pick?
Yeah.
No.
We've never established a rule. I'm just saying we've never done that.
We talked earlier in the year about the listener and mimicking the listener, which is also frowned upon. I've never given consideration that we would pick the same one as each other. That's ridiculous.
Hey, I'm with you. That's why I'm not going to do it.
But it's a rule.
Well, let's make it a rule right now. It's a rule, right?
It was an unwritten rule, and now it has become
a written rule.
Once
we're not
put
doing
this
that.
Pen to this paper.
That's
should
right.
Should I tweet it or like email somebody so
maybe
it's written, so it's written down?
Maybe so. Give me Mikhail Granlund in the competition today. Preds picked a click. I'm going for two in a row. I feel good about Granlund, the way that he's played as of late. I think he finds the back of the net tonight for the Nashville Predators. Robbie Stanley going for two in a row in the competition. Mikhail Granlund, I'm sticking with the Finns.
David Poile would probably like that because then in his inevitable trading of Granlund.
Or maybe he holds on to him, yeah.
There's no way, right?
There's a way. I wouldn't agree with it, but there's a way. I'm not saying it's likely, but there's a way.
What's the percentage chance that the Preds trade Mikhail Granlund right now?
70%.
70?
Well, what do you think it is? Like 95? Because I don't think it's anywhere near that
90
high.
92. It's 92%.
I don't think it's that high. I'd go 70. 70 is still a pretty good percentage.
Yeah, but man. See, if I'm a Preds fan, listen to you, I'm freaking out.
What
right
if
now.
They win every game between now and the trade deadline?
What if they do?
I'm saying 70%.
And then he signs
with
someone else in the offseason.
70%. I think it's a pretty good chance. I think you should be happy about that if you're a Preds
fan. You should
freak
out, Preds fans, if you're listening. Freak out.
That has been today's edition of Preds Pick the Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Our listener, Andrew, selecting Victor Arvidsson in the competition. Joe Rexroach sticking with his namesake. Callie Yarncroke in the competition. Ryan Porth / Elijah Campbell selecting Ellie Tolvanen, the man on a hot streak right now for the Predators. Robbie Stanley going for two in a row, selecting Mikhail Granlund in the competition. I was very tempted to go Yossi as well.
I was going
to
say Yossi.
But as good as he is, like I'm always hesitant to select defensemen back-to-back, and he scored last game. So there's that. He'll probably score twice tonight.
That's fair. And Forsberg not picked because he's not playing.
He's not playing. So
would be unwise to pick Forsberg.
Right. I was kind of nervous because, you know, sometimes you miss news. People are busy. They're going about their days doing stuff. Maybe you miss news. And I thought Andrew might select Forsberg, but he didn't. He's up to date. He knows what's going on out there. So I appreciate that.
Job, Andrew.
So what are we going to do? If I hit tonight and I make it two in a row, will you officially be nervous at that point?
I mean, if I don't.
Okay, well, let's say you don't.
Yeah,
because
you got to.
Because you did score last
game. Score the other
I'm trying
game,
to, like, not remind you of that. But, yeah.
Yeah, and no one celebrates my goal last game.
No.
You know, Callie and I are in the corner just, you know, trying to get a little attention. Yeah, you know what? I mean, look, it's not like anyone's been lighting this thing up. It's not easy to hit on these. So I'd be really skeptical that you could make up this ground in the – how many do we have left?
I don't have this specific
we had the
count
number.
In front of me, but
we've
not
gone
many.
Through 22.
Right.
I think there might be like 11 left.
That sounds right.
I mean, that would be an incredible tear. So I wouldn't say I'd be worried, but it was pretty amazing to see you miss the first 21 in a row.
Thank you.
So if you get two in a row, things sometimes go in streaks and snowball.
That's right.
What the heck was that?
We're going streaking. That's right.
I missed the beginning of it. I just heard it.
Well, I can tell you this. If I get back on the board tonight and Granlund scores and Tolvanen doesn't and I take the lead over Porth, I know he's not going to be here tomorrow, but I'm going to be ruthless in my approach to Ryan Porth. I mean, he acted like he was, you know, a mile ahead of me in this race that we're running. No, sir. I will be ruthless tomorrow.
Well, you should be, but just remember that we also are doing weekend winners tomorrow. And,
I know.
And that's
a separate competition.
Yeah. But Porth may return the favor after what he did last week.
That's fine. I'm not scared.
The over
it's a long
on,
way
the
to go.
Over on Alabama-UCLA. Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's just a pretty good stroke of luck last week for Ryan Porth. That does it for this edition of Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll continue the conversation on the Nashville Predators when we come back. And speaking of the Predators, 102.5 of the Game and T-Mobile have teamed up to help you continue the tradition with a hockey home gating party, and it's time to text in to the game line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win the T-Mobile hockey home gate. Watch a weekend Preds game with a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. Just text the word Preds to 615-737-1025. That's Preds to 615-737-1025 now to enter. The winner will be contacted on Thursday, and you must be 21 or older to enter. So make sure you get those texting fingers rolling right now. at 615-737-1025. We'll be right back. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.